You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, May 6, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you so much. So glad you could be here today. It is Hemp Day Hump Day here at Rolla J Studios. That means Doug Fine, author of Too High to Fail and Hemp Bound, will be calling in to give us his update on hemp laws all across this country. We were going to also ask him about what's going on with Oregon's hemp program, which apparently has some political threats to shut it down. We'll get the details on that from Doug Fine when we talk to him at half past the hour. Quick update on the Denver City Council election. I have to apologize because the Belleville bump did not help. Kayvon Collett-Barry, running for the at-large position in Denver City Council, received about 10,000 votes. But that was only 7.6% of the 141,000 votes cast, and he finished fifth out of five people running for the position. And Chris Chiari, running in another district against four other competitors, also came in fifth out of five with just 592 votes out of about 11,000 cast. So while we have had some political victories, we still have a long way to go before our industry are the political heavyweights that some of the other industries and interest groups are, like the rehabs, the law enforcement, and so forth. But good on them for running for the positions and at least making our industry visible to those people in power in the Denver City Council. All right, also on today's show, we'll have time for a radical rant, and today we're going to talk about a case of legalized theft. Yes, one of those civil asset forfeiture cases, this one out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the dreams of a young man shattered on his Amtrak train trip. So we'll tell you all about that at the end of the show. Also coming up on the show today, we're going to get into the activist agenda and ask, why is it so hard to talk to kids about legal pot? There's another story up, I think this one's on CNN, about the difficulties in talking to children about marijuana now that it's been made legal. I don't understand why that's any more difficult than talking to them about legal alcohol or tobacco, but we'll dig into that in our activist agenda. Also on the show today, behind the headlines, headline today, to form new pot laws, state picks from group that broke old ones. It's a hit piece from Central Oregon in the Bend Bulletin. We'll tell you just how it is framing the selection of a 15-member rules advisory committee for the implementation of Measure 91, marijuana legalization here in the state of Oregon. But of course, we start everything off with the 420 radio news. A lot of headlines today. We've got an update on that medical marijuana executive order in Puerto Rico. We've got the results of the election in East Lansing, Michigan on marijuana decriminalization. We've got a bill for industrial hemp making its way through the Missouri Senate. Lawmakers in Delaware, at least on a committee, have approved decriminalization. In Alaska, the Marijuana Control Board law has been signed into, well, has been, bill has been signed into law by their governor, excuse me there. The South American country of Ecuador is reviewing decriminalization, and a bill that would have been bad for our side in California has been rejected by an assembly committee. Like I said, a lot of headlines to get to. We'll cover those right after this break. You can hear from a few of our sponsors, including mypottles.com. Don't forget that with the promo code 420radio, you can get 20% off your online order at mypottles.com. That's the promo code 420radio at mypottles.com. Right back after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. Are you tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor-free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA-free, and UV-resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent ya.
Hey, this is Big Daddy, and I want you to know it's never too late to join me at the Funky Roller Rink every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
I like it like that.
Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, May 6, 2015. Smoking marijuana for medicinal purposes will not be allowed in Puerto Rico, but cannabis derivatives could be consumed in other ways, government officials said Tuesday as they provided more details on the governor's weekend executive order on cannabis use. Justice Secretary Cesar Miranda told the Associated Press that the government would allow patients access to cannabis derivatives that would be inhaled or used orally, such as potions or pills. Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla issued an order late Sunday directing the island's health department to authorize the use of some or all derivatives of the cannabis plant for medical use. He did not specify in his executive order what type of medical marijuana uses he supports, and his office said he has no plans to comment on the issue. Health Secretary Ana Rius told reporters Tuesday that smoking marijuana, regardless of its purpose, would still be considered a crime. Voters in East Lansing are the latest in Michigan to approve lessening local marijuana ordinances, with 16 out of 17 precincts reporting late Tuesday night. 2,900 voters, or 65.57%, approved a charter amendment to repeal the city of East Lansing's current marijuana ordinances. Now, the use, possession, and transfer of up to 1 ounce of marijuana is legal for people 21 years or older on private property. The proposal will not impact Michigan State University, and current state and federal laws are still in effect. Attorney Jeff Hank, who spearheaded the campaign, also chairs the Michigan Comprehensive Cannabis Law Reform Committee, which seeks to put a statewide proposal on the 2016 ballot to legalize, regulate, and tax marijuana in Michigan. In the past fiscal year, there were 23 use or possession citations issued, and East Lansing police have made marijuana enforcement a low priority. An important Missouri Senate committee approved a bill to authorize the farming, production, and sale of industrial hemp in the state, effectively nullifying the federal prohibition on it. Previously approved by the House, it now moves to the full Senate for consideration. House Bill 830 not only designates industrial hemp as an agricultural crop, it also includes all the structural framework needed to get the hemp market up and running in the state. Last month, it passed the House with a vote of 104 to 41. If passed into law, hemp would be reclassified from an illegal product into an agricultural one under state law. It would also expressly legalize the commerce of hemp in the state, and not just the growth for research purposes as is being done in some states. And anyone with a hemp license would be able to grow and produce hemp crops as long as they are farming on a minimum of 2.5 acres. Lawmakers on the Delaware House Public Safety Committee narrowly approved legislation on Wednesday that would end arrests for simple marijuana possession, replacing criminal penalties with a $100 fine. Debate on the legislation, which now heads to the full House, lasted about 90 minutes, with law enforcement groups in unanimous opposition. Delaware State Police representatives said the measure would make it more difficult to target drug dealers because they could not initiate searches on suspicion of simple marijuana possession. Simple possession would be treated like a traffic violation and would carry no criminal record. Selling marijuana and smoking pot in public would remain criminal offenses. A bill signed into law Monday creates a marijuana control board that will take the lead in crafting Alaska's marijuana laws. House Bill 123 creates a five-member volunteer board that will address a wide array of issues, from the amount of THC allowed per edible product, to business license types, to security and safety requirements. Ecuador is reviewing a new piece of legislation that, if passed, would decriminalize the use of all illegal drugs. The bill, authored by Carlos Velasco, who chairs the Ecuadorian Congress's Commission of the Right to Health, aims to put an end to the country's war on drugs by providing drug users with treatment and rehabilitation instead of jail time. Many Ecuadorians support Velasco's bill, but there are many who oppose it, reasoning that its implementation will only increase drug use. An assembly committee has rejected a bill making California one of more than a dozen states that allow police to conduct roadside testing for marijuana and other drugs. The bill had support from law enforcement organizations but was opposed by defense attorneys and the Drug Policy Alliance, which is gearing up to put marijuana legalization on the ballot in the 2016 election. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, May 6, 2015. I'm Russ Belville. Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day. The Fingerboard extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where today I was enraged from an article I saw in the Bend Bulletin in Central Oregon. It's about the new Rules Advisory Committee for implementing legal marijuana in Oregon. And the headline reads, "To form new marijuana laws, state picks from group that broke old ones." Here's a quote from the piece. A review by the Bulletin of the members' backgrounds shows several members of the panels have been ensnared by law enforcement for what at the time were crimes involving marijuana, end quote. Without any hint of awareness that in order to become an expert in marijuana before now, you had to break the law. And I don't know, maybe I've got a different definition of several. To open up their article, it notes that Anthony Johnson, the chief petitioner of Measure 91, is on the committee. As of course he should be, since he helped write the law being implemented. But Johnson has never been ensnared by law enforcement for marijuana crimes. Then in the article, we learn about Brent Kenyon, who has been convicted of marijuana sales in 2008 and pleaded guilty to misdemeanor delivery charges in 1995. As the count on Sesame Street would say, one! One marijuana criminal! Ha 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 ha! And then we learn about Cedar Gray, who was charged with marijuana crimes in 2001 and 2007, but had all the charges dismissed, since he was obeying the medical marijuana law. In other words, not a marijuana criminal. And then we learn about Don Morse, who was convicted of misdemeanor possession in a case involving the medical marijuana dispensary he was running in Washington County just months before dispensaries were made legal. A dispensary he and his partner opened up to inspection by state and local authorities, and which was cited as being a model for how a legal dispensary system could work. So, two marijuana criminals. Ha, ha, ha. I don't know how two makes it several, but maybe they have a different dictionary over in Bend, Oregon. Well, here's my idea for another article for the Bend Bulletin. I would call it, To Form New Marijuana Laws, State Packs Panel with Groups That Opposed Them. Imagine delving into the fact that at least three of the five members of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission in charge of implementing these laws publicly admit to having opposed Measure 91, including the chair, Rob Patridge, who is the Klamath County District Attorney tasked with prosecuting marijuana cases. We could also learn how one of the Rules Advisory Committee is Doug Bridenthal, Jackson County Commissioner, who believes under legal marijuana, quote, child abuse and domestic violence cases will rise, end quote, and who voted to tax marijuana locally, in opposition to Measure 91, but in lockstep with the League of Oregon Cities and the Association of Oregon Counties, who are lobbying to gut Measure 91. We can also learn how one of the members is Jeff Kuhns of the Kaiser Police Department, who, when it comes to card-holding medical marijuana patients, asks, quote, can't health inspectors walk into restaurant kitchens to do inspections without the consent of the proprietor? Doesn't the fire marshal have the authority to inspect buildings without the consent of the owner? Individuals issued cards by the state of Oregon should know they too could be inspected in much the same fashion. End quote. We could learn how one of the members of the committee is Craig Roberts, the sheriff of Clackamas County, whose own employee was caught trafficking pounds of marijuana, methamphetamine, and heroin right under Sheriff Roberts' nose. We could also learn how one of the Rules Advisory Committee is Paul Frazier from Coos County, another one of the 36 Oregon District Attorneys who voted unanimously to oppose the last two attempts at statewide legalization, and wrote, looks okay to me, in approving a ballot statement that included, quote, claims that major tax revenues will be made or that current law enforcement revenue will be freed up by marijuana legalization are either fantasy or fraud, end quote. We could also learn how one of the members is Kevin Woolruff of the Medford Police Department, who thinks medical marijuana cardholders should just invite police into their homes for warrantless searches. As he told the Oregonian, quote, we will ask to do a compliance check and look at their cards and count the plants to make sure they have enough cards for the plants, end quote. Compliance check is a term cops use to frighten medical marijuana cardholders into thinking the law allows them to do such a thing. We could also learn how one of the committee members is Alan Rappelier, who as Washington County Council helped usher in a ban on medical marijuana dispensaries. And as a bonus, Rappelier must have had some influence on that Don Morse case in Washington County. Won't that be a fun face-to-face? Funny how out of 500 applicants with in-depth knowledge of marijuana to fill 15 positions, including me, the OLCC manages to choose only two with criminal records. And funny how becoming an expert in marijuana sales and cultivation required breaking the law. And funny how the Bend Bulletin chooses to frame the selection of the committee members while every other Oregon news outlet simply reported who they were. All of them.
Maybe we should start at 420, right? Marijuana reference!
So I placed a couple of phone calls to the reporter who wrote that article for the Bend Bulletin, Taylor Anderson. Never returned my calls this afternoon, so went ahead with the article. Nice hit piece, Taylor! Won't anyone pay attention to the fact that this committee is loaded with cops and prosecutors who hate marijuana? And they're gonna set the rules?
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
Yeah, come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Whether it's a vape pen, a pipe, or a bong, you can find it right now on weedshop.com. We got dab rings, nails, and ship it fast. Whipping any of a competitor's glass. Come to the weed shop. Yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Come to the weed shop, yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com.
Funky Roller Ring.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Ring. Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
It's always a party at the Funky Roller Ring.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Activism begins with ACT. The Rush Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we're taking a look at a piece on CNN.com. It's highlighting their high profits series. But the title of the piece is Talking to Kids About Legal Marijuana. And I gotta always preface this by saying I have no children. So either I have an unbiased, objective opinion, or I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But one way or the other, I just got to make sure people know that right up front. But the writer of this piece begins by saying, my kids are in elementary school, a little young for the weed talk, but I wonder whether the fact that recreational pot use is now legal in a handful of states will complicate things once we start having those conversations. And I understand why parents are a little freaked out, because I think for some of them, they hadn't put much thought into it. They hadn't put much thought into talking to their kids about drugs or talking to them about marijuana. And maybe in the back of their mind, they recognize that, well, when that time comes, should be pretty easy. You can just say, well, pot's illegal. You get caught with it, you'll be in trouble because it's illegal. And there was, from that point, no need to really get into the why and wherefore and how of marijuana use. Really, it's illegal because it's bad. It's bad because it's illegal, and don't do it. So now parents are faced with a situation where marijuana is legal. And according to Sue Sheff, who is a parent advocate, she says she's heard from plenty of kids who say, well, it's legal, so it must be okay. She complains that they've got a messaging problem and they need to come up with a new way to discuss it because kids are tuning us out. Well, I don't understand why marijuana becoming legal in four states makes any difference to how you might talk to your kids about marijuana. There are all sorts of legal things you should talk to your kids about: tobacco, alcohol, sex, firearms, bullying. I mean, lots of things that are either legal or not specifically, I guess bullying's illegal in a sense, but you get my drift. It's like, why is it difficult to talk to a kid? Now, maybe the parents find difficulty because in their mind, they also know marijuana is far safer than alcohol or tobacco. With the alcohol or tobacco speech, even though those things are legal substances, you might be able to tell your kids, well, alcohol leads to drunk driving. It leads to, you know, alcoholism and, you know, passing out and sexual assaults and those kind of things. Tobacco, wow, you smoke that, you could get hooked and it'll be hard to quit and can cause lung cancer and it makes you stink. I mean, there are a lot of objective reasons, very easy reasons to explain to a kid why they might want to stay away from alcohol and tobacco. And of course, the rest of the drugs, heroin, coke, meth, I mean, should be easy enough to convince a kid that that's not a good idea for a young person. Maybe parents are finding some difficulty because marijuana's pretty negligibly harmful. Now, it can be troublesome for kids to be using it. We don't want kids to be using it. It's harder to form new memories. It's harder to learn new things. And a kid's got a developing brain. But according to the experts, they say that those messages don't work. This is Larry Wolk. He's the executive director for Colorado's Department of Public Health and the Environment. And he says hammering kids over the head with how, medically speaking, marijuana is bad for the developing brain won't work. Now, the research is clear that using marijuana during adolescence can have long-term impacts on memory, problem-solving skills, and critical thinking. But kids don't want to hear that talk, according to Wolk, who says the research shows that's like a turnoff. Instead of focusing on the health risks, Wolk encourages parents to talk to their kids about what they might lose if they use marijuana during their teenage years. For example, you're putting in jeopardy your potential to do well in school or to graduate or to be successful once you get your driver's license, because marijuana does impair you if you're trying to drive. It does impair if you're trying to study or do well in school or trying to get a good job. That's how he says he would talk to kids about marijuana. And it sounds like maybe they've learned their lesson in Colorado. Colorado Department of Public Health first put out those don't be a lab rat cages for the kids in Colorado, warning them that they were lab rats in some experiment on their brains if they used marijuana. That message was soundly ridiculed by teenagers and drug reformers alike. If I were to offer advice to parents out there about how to talk to your kids about marijuana, the first thing I would emphasize is that some things are wonderful and they're for adults. I think the talk about marijuana should hew closer to the talk about sex than the talk about alcohol, drugs, or tobacco. It's really more of a situation of something that, when they're old enough, can be a very fulfilling and positive experience. We don't need to have negative fear mongering with respect to marijuana use among adolescents. We need to recognize that in their adolescence, marijuana is something they will be exposed to. There will be a temptation to use it, and that they're probably better off waiting until they're more mature to be able to handle that sort of situation. Doesn't that echo more the talk about sex than the talk about, oh, this thing's terrible, it's dangerous, you want to stay away from it? I worry giving those messages to kids sets marijuana up as a forbidden fruit and something they want to use to show just how macho an adult they really are.
420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks. even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Legalization also ushers in the return of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day update.
Welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour, and today is our Hemp Day Hump Day. All sorts of news going on in the world of industrial hemp, including the state of Missouri currently looking at industrial hemp. And let's see if we... Yep, still trying to get Doug on the line here. He's at his goat ranch in New Mexico, and so dialing out on the cell phone, we'll see if we can reach him. But like I mentioned, Missouri does have a hemp law that they are winding through their legislature, and that hemp law currently would be one of the best in the country. Most of the hemp laws at this point are pretty much stuck with the research purposes clause, that they're allowed to use or used to grow these plots of hemp for research purposes, which are important. It's good data that we're going to get as far as which strains will work in which plantation and in which location. But as far as being able to do any commerce with the industrial hemp, that can be a little more difficult. So still trying to get Doug on the line here, having a little difficulty. Let me go to break, see if I can catch him over break, and we'll be right back with our Hemp Day Hump Day.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes. But look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. My apologies, unable to reach Doug Fine for our Hemp Day Hump Day today, but we will have him on the program again just as soon as possible. We move on to the Radical Rant, where I wanted to talk about a case of legalized theft. This is out of the state of New Mexico, where a reporter is writing for, let's see, which the Albuquerque Journal. She tells the story of Joseph Rivers. Now, Joseph Rivers, let's see if I can get to where this starts here. Joseph Rivers was traveling on April 15th from Dearborn, Michigan to Los Angeles. And he was traveling on the Amtrak train. And on the Amtrak train, he had a stop in Albuquerque. And in Albuquerque, a DEA agent boarded the train. Now, Rivers, Joseph Rivers, had $16,000 cash on him on his way. And the reason why is because he's an aspiring music producer, music video producer, wanted to make his way from Michigan to Los Angeles to set up his company and get to work. And the reason he's carrying $16,000 in cash is he says that he's had problems in the past trying to take out large sums of money from out-of-state banks. So in Albuquerque, a DEA agent boarded the train and began asking various passengers, including Rivers, where they were going and why. When Rivers replied that he was headed to LA to make a music video, the agent asked to search his bags. And unfortunately, Rivers complied. Now, in one of the bags, the agents found the cash. It was still in an envelope from the bank in Michigan where he'd gotten the cash. It was still in the bank envelope. Rivers told the reporter, quote, "I even allowed him to call my mother, a military veteran and hospital coordinator, to corroborate my story. Even with all of this, the officers decided to take my money because he stated that he believed that the money was involved in some type of narcotic activity." Rivers wrote in an email, quote, "These officers took everything that I worked so hard to save, and even money that was given to me by family that believed in me. I told the DEA agents I had no money and no means to survive in Los Angeles if they took my money. They informed me that it was my responsibility to figure out how I was going to do that." Now, other travelers had witnessed what happened, and one of them actually stood up as a Good Samaritan and helped him contact attorneys, reporters, and got him some money to be able to live while his $16,000 was gone. Now, maybe at this point we should note that Joseph Rivers was the only black person on that Amtrak train. Oh yeah, DEA talked to a whole lot of people. But for some reason, it was only the black fella whose bags they wanted to search. Now, the reporter, Jolene Gutierrez Kruger, called Sean Waite. He's the agent in charge of the DEA in Albuquerque. Said he couldn't comment on the case because, you know, it's an ongoing case. We can't comment. But he disputes that there was any targeting of Joseph Rivers because he was the only black guy on the Amtrak train.
Waite said that in general, DEA agents look for indicators, such as whether the person bought an expensive one-way ticket with cash. If the person is traveling from or to a city known as a hotspot for drug activity, if the person's story has inconsistencies, or if the large sums of money found could have been transported by more conventional means. And the damning quote, "We don't have to prove that the person is guilty. It's the money that's presumed to be guilty." Yep, folks, that's civil asset forfeiture in a nutshell. So what was the indicator that tipped off the DEA to talk to Joseph Rivers and ask to search his bags, if it wasn't the fact that he was black? The fact that he was traveling to LA to become a music producer? Is it because LA is a hotspot for known drug activity? You know, like every freaking city in America? Yeah, I have trouble believing that this was not a case of racial profiling. Doesn't sound like his story had any inconsistencies. In fact, it sounded to me as if Mr. Rivers tried to prove to you just how consistent his story was. The guy said he was traveling to Los Angeles to become a music producer and had money in a bank envelope. You know, a whole lot of drug couriers or narcotics dealers who keep the money in the envelope that the bank cashed it out for them with? Not a whole lot. And yeah, sure, maybe a drug dealer might try to fool a DEA agent by having him call an older female associate to pretend that she's his mother and to lie about where the money came from. I suppose that's in the realm of the possible. But this is just another case of legalized theft. That's all it is, legalized theft. This guy's dream of forming his own company, his own business, of becoming a producer, shattered. $16,000 up in smoke, just gone. Now, there is a bit of good news. Just 5 days before Joseph Rivers encountered the DEA agents in Albuquerque, New Mexico at the Amtrak, the governor of New Mexico, Susana Martinez, signed a law that bars state and local law enforcement from seizing money or property under civil asset forfeiture. Unfortunately, the law doesn't take effect until July, and unfortunately, it does not supersede federal law, so federal agents from the DEA can still take your cash just because they have a hunch. Now, the writer of this piece does a really good job of breaking down exactly what asset forfeiture is all about. And she says, agencies like the DEA can confiscate money or property if they have a hunch, a suspicion, a notion that maybe, possibly, perhaps, the items are connected with narcotics or something else illegal. Or maybe the fact that the person holding a bunch of cash is a young black man is good enough, she writes. The attorney who is representing Mr. Rivers, his name's Michael Panzer. He says, quote, "What this is having your money stolen by a federal agent acting under the color of law. It's a national epidemic. If my office got 4 to 5 cases just recently, and I'm just one attorney, you know this is happening thousands of times," end quote. And indeed it is. A Washington Post investigation last year found that local, state, and federal agents nationwide have seized $2.5 billion in cash. That's B, folks. $2.5 billion in cash from 62,000 citizens since 2001. And not one of those seizures required a search warrant, an indictment, a charge, an arrest. All they required was the hunch of an officer. Now, people can fight to get their money back, their property back, when it's seized. Of course, you got to figure out how you're going to hire a lawyer when you don't have any of your money left. But you can hire a lawyer. They're pretty expensive. And usually, for a lot of these cases, the cost of hiring a lawyer and going through the court case to get your money back costs you more than the money that you'd get back. So it's not worth it to a lot of people. And we have no idea how many of those 62,000 people who had $2.5 billion seized, we have no idea how many of them ever fought or got their money back. This case has been repeated many times, many places, and people are beginning to become aware that civil asset forfeiture is corruption incarnate. It is policing for profit, and it is not at all what our founding fathers intended for our government to, for how our government should treat us. It's just an abomination. All right, folks, we got some time here at the end of the show. I want to present to you some audio picked up from the Global Cannabis March this last Saturday. Representative Lou Fredericks is fighting to free the pot prisoners with a bill that he has sponsored. He spoke at the stage as the keynote presenter, and I interviewed him afterwards. We've got that audio here for you from the Global Cannabis March. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Enjoy.
Representative Lou Frederick has been doing a lot of things. He's been paying attention to what we're doing. He saw that we voted on November 4th. He understands the process. And one thing that he's doing is he has introduced HB 3372. And Representative Lou Frederick represents District 43. And I'm going to let him tell you guys all about what he's got going. But thank you guys so much for your attention. And please welcome Representative Lou Frederick.
Thank you all. Thank you very much. Greetings from Northeast Portland and from the Capitol and from Salem. Listen, I'm not going to talk long. I know you all have been here for a long day already. I just wanted to update you on what's going on in Salem right now. Now, as you probably know, it's a passage of 91 was just the beginning of a process. Laws don't spell out all the procedures required to make them work, and some of that's being hammered out by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, as well as some of it in the legislature. In fact, yesterday, the OLCC put together a group of committees that are going to look at rules and licensing and quality and financing and extracts and infused items and growers. They're going to look at all those different issues. But I want to tell you, I'm not going to talk about those. I know that I was asked to speak because of a bill I introduced in the beginning of the start the process of cleaning up some of the effects of the so-called war on drugs. Unfortunately, that bill, 3372, probably isn't going to make it through the process this time. Fortunately, another bill will. Okay? It won't do everything I'd hope, but as Mick Jagger would have been talking about at the legislative process, he said you can't always get what you want. So what are we trying to do? Well, it's important to recognize the extreme criminalization of certain marijuana-related activities has done more harm to our communities than the drug itself ever could. Combined with Measure 11, it put a lot of people behind bars and gave a lot of people felony records for actions that will not be criminal in the future. A stint in prison is not the end of one's so-called debt to society. A felony record can follow you for the rest of your life, closing doors to housing and employment, disrupting families and dragging the whole community down. We should have learned that from the experience of alcohol prohibition in the 1920s and early 30s, but we had to run the experiment again, it seems. And now as we come to our senses and create a system in which cannabis is legal but regulated in the future, we also need to do something about the harm that's been done by the prohibition in the past. And that's why I introduced a bill to create a path to the expungement of records of nonviolent marijuana-related records. And the reduction of sentences for similar offenses for people who are still in custody or under supervision. This is a high priority for me to do something about this, because while I won't deny that crime affects our community and I won't deny that incarceration sometimes is an appropriate response to criminal acts, I also believe that it has been used too often where it makes no sense at all, creating criminals out of people who are doing no harm. We need to fix that for the future and also reach back and fix what has happened in the past. Now, as I said, 3372 is not going to make it, but details matter a lot in the legislative process, and we just couldn't work out through the details in the time that we had. I understand, however, that there'll be another bill coming through the committee on implementing the Senate, the Senate and House committee on implementing Measure 91. In the House, in the district, in the Capitol, that's called the Joint Committee on Marijuana. Just so that you know. Yes, it's a joke, and everyone seems to like
it. Where can I get a bottle of water?
Well, except for some of the folks here. I urge you to use the online Oregon Legislative Information System, OLIS. Look that up, O-L-I-S, to keep informed about what the committee is doing. And I hope you'll pay more attention to this, to more than this one issue. Because I want you to make this issue your gateway issue for more involvement in our policy-making process. Our system works better when people watch and take part, and that means you. And I want to also just thank you for coming out and being so active in the campaign last year, and stay active. We need to have you continue to listen to what's going on, to watch, to talk with everyone. Know who your legislators are. Do you know who your legislators are? How many of you know who your legislators are? All right, if you don't, you need to look it up and find out who that is and go and talk with them. Let them know that you're out there. Let them know that you're watching and that you want to have some things changed. As I said, I don't think my particular bill is going to make it through, but I believe we will get a bill that will come through in some form that will work, that will certainly make things a little better for the folks who have been incarcerated, who have records, and who are presently incarcerated. Maybe we'll get some changes, and that will only become because you decide to work for it. So thank you very much. Take care. Yes, Representative Lou Frederick, representing District 43. I really appreciate the time. You know, he doesn't have to come here and do this. He didn't have to come out here today, and he did anyways. It's because he understands the process, has been watching us, and understands that we need some things as well to keep going. All right, man, let's keep this thing going. What a great day it's been. We've got our next speaker, Kimberly McCullough with the Oregon ACLU Legislative. She is the actual director. Give it up for Kimberly. Let's go, girl.
Hello, everyone. Really nice to be here. I'm just feel so privileged and proud to be here with all of you today. It's really great. My name is Kimberly McCullough. I'm the legislative director with the ACLU of Oregon. I want to tell you a little bit about the ACLU before I get into everything else, just so you know, because not everybody does. ACLU has been around for over 100 years. We've been on the front lines of pretty much every civil rights and civil liberties issue in the country. We're a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization. We work on free speech, racial justice, prisoners' rights, human rights, humane police practices.
It's an internet podcast.
Oh, I've heard around the world. All right.
So we're here with Representative Lou Fredericks from Northeast Portland. I'm from Northeast Portland as well. It's nice to meet a fellow Northeasterner. You were putting together a bill to try to help our, what we call pot POWs, people that are still serving time for something that is now legal. And you just broke the news that it probably won't make it through the session this time.
Well, no. Back up. My bill probably won't. It was a little broader than we could get through and get the details worked out. There will be a bill, there will be a part of the larger bill that will speak to those issues. It may not speak to every one of the issues that I wanted. I wanted to make sure that anyone who had possession, was transporting it, was selling it and manufacturing. I wanted, because all those things will be legal in July 1st.
Sure.
So I wanted to make sure that, try to get that done. Well, all of those things you can't do because of a number of things. The expungement process is not as simple as it sounds. It's not a wave of a magic wand. It's not
like a pardon or something.
It's not like a pardon, exactly. It's not like a part, and so you have to deal with it. Expungement is a different thing altogether. So my bill, because of the time it would have taken to try to work through all of those discussions with all the legal folks, to find out how much it might cost, because if you had to expunge some of those convictions, it meant you had to go back to the judge who had who had ruled on it.
Okay.
So, and some of those convictions, that's how far, and if you did that, that meant it was going to start costing a lot more money.
I see.
And so we didn't have the fiscal, what we call the fiscal, the cost set at that particular point.
Gotcha.
So we couldn't get that through. However, because there's a committee, the Joint Committee on Marijuana, that's in the legislature, because of that committee that's underway right now, there's going to be a bill that they're creating that will be passed along to the House and the Senate. It's not related to the timing that we had for the other thing. I had to get the other one through by the 1st of April, the 8th of April. We couldn't get it through.
Right.
But they're still working on that particular bill. We will get something together.
That's really good.
So
news.
I think we're going to get something, and it'll very likely be something on the order of nonviolent possession offenses.
Okay.
It may not deal with manufacturing. It may not deal with transport. It may not deal with lots of sales. We wanted to try to do something in terms of sales, but that was also an issue. How much were you selling? If it was somebody who was selling a small amount, or was it somebody who would organize a big process, a big team to sell? Those, they both say sales, so you had to, that was the kind of detail that you had to work through. So at this point, we're going to probably get something regarding possession. And the possession, I think, will make a difference.
Wow, that's really good news. As the Joint Committee works through Measure 91, one of the things that has come as quite a surprise and shock to our community is their work on the medical side of things. When Measure 91 said we weren't going to change the medical side of things. What's your feeling on that, and what's the progress that's being made?
Well, I'll tell you, to believe that the medical and the recreational are not connected is a mistake. Just truly a mistake. And it's a little naive to believe that you can separate those two so easily. So we have to figure out how we... I'm sorry.
It's all right.
We have to somehow speak to the idea that there are medical and that there are different things. Because one of the things, for instance, we want to make sure is with medical marijuana, you want the quality to be the right amount. You need to know that. Is that going to be the case with recreational? You have to do something to make sure that that's clear. Because you are talking about medicine. You are talking about, you don't want to give people not only range of things, or as someone put it to me just a few minutes ago, on recreation, some recreational marijuana from some places might have pesticides on it.
Yeah.
You don't want that in the medical marijuana.
Yeah, I don't want it in the recreational,
well,
to tell you the truth.
And that's the point. So yeah. So quality issues are part of this discussion as well.
Okay, final question. We're early in the process. You mentioned Measure 91 is just the beginning of this. It's just the start of this. Some of the things that concern us in our community is equal rights. That is, being discriminated against in the workplace through drug testing or organ transplants, things like that.
Organ transplants. Good question. And I, you know, this is the other issue that we're dealing with. You know, there is a concern that we're dealing with. What happens if somebody's impaired? Somebody's driving impaired, and or are they not? And how do you determine that? Those are the kinds of issues that we're going to have to continue to work through. And we've got to get rules. We've got to get sometimes technology that's going to be doing that. We had one thing that failed, I think appropriately at this particular point, but failed. It was saying that one of the best ways to determine how much concentration you have and whether it's affecting you is by taking a blood sample. But we don't want to take blood samples from everybody.
Yeah,
okay? So how do you determine something like that? We don't have those answers. And we're gonna be working through those things over the next, I would guess, several years, quite frankly. This is not, the law and legislation is not a magic wand. You know, you don't have that ability to say we're going to solve everything right away. But you do need to be able to do something. This is the beginning of the process.
All right. Oregon State Representative Lou Fredericks, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate your work.
Absolutely. Take care.
And
great talk there with Oregon Representative Lou Fredericks. He will be a guest at the Portland Normal Meeting on May 23rd. We're looking forward to hearing from him, and we thank him for his attempts to free the pot prisoners. However many he can free, it's a good thing. But that's all the time we got for Hour 1. My apologies that Doug Fine was unable to join us. We'll get him on the next Hemp Day Hump Day. Coming up in Hour 2, we got plenty to talk about, including legalization in Nevada and Republicans getting behind it. a look at cops versus the citizenry. Jared Polis, the congressman from Colorado, doesn't want to see another Michelle Lenhart in the DEA. And speaking of the DEA, what kind of punishment do you suppose those agents got for leaving Daniel Chong locked up in a room for 5 days? We'll tell you all that more coming up in the next hour. Toker Talk Radio.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
For everyone here at Roller J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You take a scene, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a scene, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.